In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last day is how the Gospel according to St. John began, that we read today on the day of the feast day of Pentecost, the day of the descent of the Holy Spirit upon those who are gathered ready to become the church. This day is the last day, not in the sense of the day of judgment, it's the last day in the sense that this is the day that preparation has been leading up to ever since the beginning of Jesus' public ministry and is going to be baptized. Everything that has happened from that time until the day of Pentecost, everything has been leading up to that day. That's the day that Jesus was speaking of when he said, "Let those who are thirsty come to me." And there's a parenthesis right there in the scripture. You know, they didn't have hypertext in those days. But that's what that is, that parenthesis in that holy scripture. Maybe some people don't know what hypertext is. I don't know. You're online, you're on the internet, and you're reading down, and there's a phrase that has a lot behind it that you may or may not be familiar with. And so it's in a different color and there's a line under it. And if you click on it, it will take you to a whole other section where you can read so that you understand that phrase and then you go back. That's hypertext. There's hypertext in the gospel. Just to make sure we know that at this point what's going on there refers to something else. And there is that kind of hypertext in this gospel in the form of this parenthesis. It tells us that when Jesus Christ is speaking of living water, of the water that is going to flow from those who come to him because they are thirsty, the parenthesis says he is talking about the Holy Spirit, which wasn't given yet because he was not yet glorified. What does it mean he was not yet glorified? He wasn't crucified. He had not descended to destroy death. He had not arisen from the dead. He had not ascended to sit in the body of the humanity that he shares with us, to sit on the right hand of God the Father. That's what it means. All those things hadn't happened yet. But he's already talking about it. They are just then thinking about coming to take him. The authorities are thinking about coming to take him, and that will lead to his crucifixion. So he's saying this now because he's not going to have a chance to say it later. There are a lot of other things that are going to happen at that point. But still, he's saying it now. And he says that he is the light and the life of the world. The day of Pentecost. And we have prepared for this day. When did we start preparing for Pentecost? We started preparing to prepare when we heard about Zacchaeus. And we knew Lent was coming. And we weren't up to that. So there were those several weeks before Lent. And then there was Lent. And then there was Holy Week. And then there was Pascha. And then there were those days of Pascha up to the Ascension. And then there was the Ascension of Christ. He has not yet been glorified. It includes that Ascension. And now everything has been done. Everything has been prepared. All of the things that needed to happen have happened. And the apostles, the disciples are gathered together and they are awaiting the descent of the Holy Spirit. And the first fruit of that Holy Spirit, we said last week, would be the preaching of the gospel. And I'll refer you hypertext back to last week's sermon for that. Metropolitan Anthony of Sorzo gives us a way of understanding the role of the Holy Spirit in the life of the church and in our own lives, that it would be good for us to look at this day. He begins by saying, the church is a miracle. This is the birth of the church we're talking about on Pentecost, right? So we're talking about the church. The church is not an institution, he says, point blank. The church is not an institution. The church is a miracle. That's what he says. And by miracle, he means something that we had not expected. Something that we could not have expected. And he also means beyond that, something that we cannot explain by way of words, something that we can only know. It is a mystery, because it's beyond our capacity to explain it. It's beyond our capacity to have predicted that this is going to happen. All we can do is prepare, and then God acts. God does something that nobody had expected, and people participate in that. That's what Metropolitan Anthony says the church is. It's a mystery. It's a mystery in that way. And then he re-begins, you might say, with the word God. God, we think we know what the word God means. We use the English language, and we need Metropolitan Anthony, a Russian bishop, to explain our own language to us, to remind us what the word God means. He had to probably look it up and learn it, and now he's teaching us because we've forgotten. What does the word God mean? There is a root word for the word God, and the root word for the word God means Him before whom we prostrate ourselves and adore. Him before whom we prostrate ourselves and adore. The root of the English word God means that. Makes it sound kind of funny when people come and ask us, well, why do you prostrate? Well, you prostrate because we're in the presence of God. That's what you do when you're in the presence of God. If you're not prostrating, then you are not experiencing being in the presence of God. You may be in the presence of God, but you are so distant from being able to experience His presence that you do not prostrate. Those who are in the presence of God prostrate themselves because they experience the presence and the power of God, and it is for us to adore Him. That is our relationship to Him. It's not for us to sit around and discuss whether or not prostration is something that we want to do. That's God. And when we are in the presence of God and we are prostrate before Him and we adore Him, there is a silence in us. Because everything else is secondary. We are there in the presence of God in adoration of Him and in total prostration, having fallen down before Him on the ground. And there is a silence. And in that silence, the Holy Spirit of God speaks to us. We know God by being in His presence, adoring Him and prostrating ourselves before Him. Elsewhere, Metropolitan Anthony advises us that that is the real nature of prayer. We go before God and we fall down before Him and we fall into silence and we await His word in our heart. There's a lot of preparation that goes before that, but all that preparation has been done by the time we get to Pentecost. And the word of God that we hear comes to us by the Holy Spirit is a comfort to us. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete in the Scriptures. Paraclete means the comforter. Metropolitan Anthony reminds us that in many ancient languages, words mean more than one thing at the same time. They are complex. They're not complex in the sense that they're hard to understand. They're perfectly easy to understand. But they mean more than what we might think. Hearing someone say, well, paraclete, it means the comforter. The Holy Spirit is the one who comforts us. He is the comforter. But in the original language, paraclete means strength and joy and comfort that comes from God. The comfort that is spoken of is comfort of a particular kind. The question is, what kind of comfort do we want? Now, if we are actually fallen down in the presence of God, if we are actually adoring God, and we are silent before Him, and the chaos of the words of the world is stopped for us at that moment, the comfort that we want is the comfort of God's giving us the light that we need and can only get from Him. The comfort is God Himself coming to us in that moment of adoration the Holy Spirit. It is the comfort of God Himself. The problem is that that is not generally the comfort that we want. We are not thirsting for the Holy Spirit. We're not thirsting for God, as Jesus said when He called people to Him. Sometimes, even when we come to pray, we ask God for some comfort other than Himself. We ask God for some comfort of worldly things. And that's not the kind of comfort that the Holy Spirit is. The Holy Spirit is the comfort of God Himself. We have to want that. We have to need that in order to be open to receive Him. If not, then we are desiring some comfort by way of the world. Most of us, as a matter of fact, Metropolitan Anthony points out to us, are very comfortable most of the time. And as a matter of fact, the only real occasion we have for prayer to God is when we're not comfortable according to the way of the world. When we don't have all of the things that we want emotionally, spiritually. You know, we have spiritual satisfaction from the world. It's not like the comfort that is God Himself, desiring Him above all things, in denial of all of the things of the world. It's not like that's the only spiritual life. The spiritual life that is much more normal for us, if we can use that term in this kind of strange way, is to be comforted by the world. And our understanding is our spiritual life comes from receiving the satisfaction that we need emotionally, psychologically, spiritually from the world. The world gives its own kind of spiritual comfort instead of God. And we prefer that most of the time. We are perfectly satisfied. We are perfectly comfortable, even in our religious and spiritual life, he says. Receiving what we want, what we need from the world. We are not in a state of emptiness and thirst, prostrate before God in adoration of Him. That's not our condition. If that is our condition, then we are prepared to receive the Holy Spirit. If we're not, then we're not open to receiving the Holy Spirit. We are called to be the church. We're talking here about Pentecost, the day on which everything had been prepared and the people were waiting. Waiting. First the preparation and then the waiting. We don't like to wait. I know I don't like to wait. I get everywhere in the nick of time if I possibly can. You know, I tell you, it's perfect if I walk in just at the last possible moment so that I have not sacrificed even 1 minute of my own time to whatever it is that I'm supposed to be someplace in particular in order to do. Because I want the maximum of my own time. I'm doing other things first. And I don't leave until I think, it'll take this much time to get there. And then I get there, and if something happens in between, then it's the fault of the traffic or whatever it was. Because I left in enough time to get there. I don't like to wait. We do that with God. We come to church, and we come just in the nick of time. That's not the case here on Pentecost. Think of all of the preparation that has gone into this moment, the time of Pentecost. The two ways that we've looked at it. Our preparation here before the celebration of Pentecost, going all the way back to Zacchaeus. The preparation for Pentecost in the time of the history of salvation and that is the life of Christ. All the way back to His birth in this world for this purpose, to make it possible for the church to exist. You could go even further than that back into the Bible, into the Old Testament, the preparation for the birth of Christ, all for this moment. And finally, there is a gathering together and there is a waiting for the descent of the Holy Spirit. In the Divine Liturgy itself, There is a preparation that comes before the divine liturgy. The priest comes and he vests. He prepares. He puts on all of the vestments. He becomes a moving image, a moving icon. Not the real thing. There's only one priest. There is only one high priest. And that is Christ himself. But we ordain men into his priesthood so that we can have people who can vest themselves and do the things that need to be done that only Christ can do. But he wants us to be able to participate in the doing of those things. And so we have the divine liturgy. And so we have communion. And so we have the gathering of the people together, waiting to receive the gifts from the hand of God himself, the gift of his own life, the gift that he spent his own life preparing in order for us to receive. All of these preparations, you see, finally everything is ready for us to receive. And so the priest vests, and the priest does all of the things in preparation that need to be done with the bread and the wine, getting it ready, preparing the gifts to be the gifts. Those are the things that need to be done. Those are the things that a human priest ordained to the priesthood can do. But that's all we can do. All we can do is come together. All we can do is prepare to receive the body and blood of Christ. All we can do is come here and prepare and be ready to receive. And I do the things that need to be done, that I can do. I can do those things. The doing of those things is not what makes communion communion, though. That is the act of God. Once all things are prepared, like they were prepared on the day of Pentecost, they are prepared at every divine liturgy. And we prepare ourselves. The liturgy begins. We move through the listening, the hearing of the word, which we can only understand when we are prostrate before God in adoration, and the Holy Spirit opens the words of Scripture to us. Because words by themselves, they can mean a lot of different things. A lot of different things. But if we are prostrate before God, not necessarily physically today, as a Sunday, we won't physically prostrate ourselves. We don't do that on a Sunday because each Sunday is a little Pascha. But we do it within ourselves spiritually. We are prostrate before God in adoration of Him, open to Him. And the Holy Spirit comes if we are prepared for Him to come. If we need and desire the presence of God, He comes. And he guides our understanding of the word. That's why the Holy Scripture can only really be understood within the experience of the divine liturgy. Because that is where we make it our work to prepare ourselves to hear the word of God. And so we pass by that point in the divine liturgy. And we move toward the reception of the body and blood of Christ. This bread that we have here, that we have brought as gifts, this wine that we have brought here as gifts, it has been prepared. It will be the body and blood of Christ for us. We will share the divine and human life that is the life of Christ. That's what everything is for, so that we can receive God's life into us physically. We are called to be the church. It is not possible to be the church. It is not possible. It is a miracle to be the church. It is always something that we hadn't expected. We are preparing for it, but we can't accomplish it. We can do all the things that lead up to it, but when the moment comes that everything is ready, the Holy Spirit must descend, and God must act and do what only God can do. All of the preparation is necessary. Our participation is necessary. But even our participation has to do with the action of the Holy Spirit. Metropolitan Anthony points out that if we think of the parts of a ship, and the church has often been called a ship, the ship of the church. If we think of the parts of a ship, The weakest part of the ship is the sails. The sailing ship cannot move without the sails being what sails are meant to be. That means open to receiving the gift of the wind, open to receiving the pneuma of God, open to receiving the Holy Spirit of God to move everything that has been prepared. That's what's necessary. And if you don't have that, then you have a ship dead in the water. The Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the one who is the third person of God, must come to make the ship alive, so that that ship, the church, which is not an institution, but a miracle that this even happens, can move across the waters of this world. And so there is another way that we must prepare ourselves. Again, it's the same way of preparation. We must prepare ourselves to be open to God, not to be rigid and demand our own way, not to come for things on our own terms. A sail like that is made of lead. It's no good. It won't work. It has to be ready to receive God. That state of prostration and adoration before God, that's essential in order for the church to be the church. And when we see the failings of what we call the church, because we think of the church as an institution, in the world, it's always that kind of a failing. Always that kind of a failing. Now, the preparation is still there. It's always possible for repentance to take place. It's always possible for those sails to open up to the presence of God and to receive the Holy Spirit of God and move and reveal the miracle that is the church. But that's what sometimes has to happen. It sometimes has to happen to the church here in Chicago. It sometimes has to happen to our participation in the life of the church in terms of ourselves as individual Christians. It sometimes has to happen to the church as it is making its effort to be present in America in this time and place. We make the preparations. We must do all of those things to prepare with faithfulness to God for the particular purpose of being present in order to receive the divine life of God Himself, to be filled with Him, both Holy Spirit and the body and blood of Christ, that gives us the divine life of Christ Himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.